Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine. Rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break. Brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks.
I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Happy Tuesday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Do you want off the bat, Sip, Bill, an update on a sporting event from last night?
The World Series?
The World Series?
Yes, I do.
We have not mentioned it for one second yet on these airwaves.
Brief me like I'm the president.
As of last night, the Los Angeles Dodgers lead the World Series 3-0. They win 4-2 in New York City. One game away from World Series number 8.
Okay.
And they're second in the last 5 years. How about that for some baseball talk off the bat?
Hmm. Yeah. I've watched a quarter of an inning so far.
That's good. That's good, Bill.
I don't think I've seen a full batter. I think it was like I just flipped over and saw the score, then flipped back or something.
Why aren't you
mid count? You saw it mid count.
Mid count.
One-two count.
Yeah, it's a 1-2 count. Okay, I'm done with that.
I've done my job. I've watched some baseball.
I haven't watched any either.
I would get excited about maybe, like I said, a game 7. If there was a game 7, I'd want to watch that.
Does not appear headed that way now.
No, it does not appear like that. I was when the Cubs won it, that was a big thing. When they won it, it was on like a Monday or Tuesday. It was like during the football season, so I was up late watching it. And it was the next day was rough.
Good. Watch Jake here.
Okay.
Get ready for Jake to pull a name.
Okay.
Who was the rapper that sang the song to start the night last night?
I didn't watch the World Series.
Oh, God. It was something Joe.
Oh, Fat Joe.
Fat Joe.
Fat Joe.
Now he pulled it. He got it.
Oh, yeah. He'd
get it.
Big
yeah.
Fat Joe
Fat
fan.
Joe. So they had Ice Cube sing like a song. Bill, they had him go out. Okay, so Ice Cube went out before game 2 in L.A. and sang to the whole crowd. And it was not like, it was live. It was not like a...
Did he lip sync?
No, that wasn't a lip sync.
Are you positive?
Yeah. And
okay.
Same with Fat Joe. I did watch Fat Joe, then I turned it off. Not because of Fat Joe. He was fine.
You watched Fat Joe sing in the World Series and didn't watch the baseball game. That's amazing.
He went out.
That's absolutely incredible.
I've never seen this, though. They went out. He goes out to the field and they sing like a rap song to get the crowd going. It was amazing.
This is before the game?
Yeah. It's just him on the field.
Is this before?
So it was Ice Cube in L.A. and Fat Joe in Yankee
Stadium.
Was
this before or after the anthem?
Good question.
Or was it a rapped anthem yesterday?
No, I think it was. My guess is it was after the anthem. So he was trying to exhort the crowd.
Yeah, I've never seen that before either.
No, this is
never seen that. I would like to have seen that.
Fat Joe. Yeah. Now, Ice Cube, I heard, brought down the house.
Yeah.
Fat Joe, he was good, but it didn't really, it wasn't overwhelmingly good. There you go. See what the textures are saying.
Well, I'll give you this too. Aaron Judge, who had 59 home runs regular season, World Series, 1-for-12, 7 strikeouts. That is what he's had.
Ooh.
So
he strikes out a lot.
He does. He's bad in the postseason. It's just a fact. Baseball.
3-0 Dodgers.
3-0 Dodgers. In game 4 in New York City, I think that was tonight. I want to hit
probably tonight.
Maybe tonight. Yeah. Okay. They wouldn't have a day off. Not a day off.
Also, Monday Night Football, Steelers beat the Giants 26-18. Pittsburgh 6-2 on the season.
Wow.
Your boy, Mike Tomlin, getting it done.
Wow.
Russ Wilson was good last night, too.
Was he?
He was. He's playing some
good
football.
Give him his due.
They've had two quarterbacks that have played. Justin Fields was winning games. The stats weren't great, but they won games. And Russ looks like he's back to his upper 20s again, playing some ball out there.
Justin Fields is a dude. His response to basically getting benched was, "Hey, we wouldn't be having this conversation if I was playing good. I just need to play better." That's a dude response.
Yeah, I was.
You like him, didn't you?
I'm just telling you. I saw that response. I was like, "That was incredible."
It's a dude.
Yeah, wasn't a bunch of palms up and no. I was like, "No, if I was playing better, I'd be."
We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, it was like the quarterback for the Giants last week got replaced, and he was upset.
That'd be Daniel Jones.
They had 100 yards of total offense. 100 yards. When they took him out there in the 90s, he had through three quarters, 90 yards of total offense.
He didn't understand. Why am I getting pulled?
I don't get this. I don't understand this. Because if you're off the mark, you need a spark.
Oh, right. Bill's thrills is packed. Yeah. Tying it together the next day.
I would like to see you bring headlines into the booth over the headsets.
I would like to sit behind you at a game, and then anytime whisper something happened, I would just make a headline and slip it to you. Just make a headline.
Just
say,
come by and say it.
Just come by.
He's off the mark. You need a spark. All right, thank you.
He just walks away.
Right. Everything is dropped the mic. Everything is dropped the mic.
There's no conversation.
No conversation. There's not. What do you mean by that? Just say it and just walk off.
That's all.
And all I'm doing is headlines. I'm not helping with anything else.
And I stand by Keith Mann until something else hits me. Then I walk up and I drop it on you.
I gotta talk to Sip real quick.
Hang on. I gotta talk to Sip real quick.
I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Hang on.
Got a headline.
Amazing. I would. I go see you. I go. Is Babcock still up there?
Yes, he is.
God, I'd love to see
Mike Babcock.
Yes, I'd love to stop and see Babcock.
He'd love if you stopped and saw him. He almost always has candy.
Whoa.
He's giving it away. Yeah,
like Halloween.
He usually has a bag of candy.
Halloween up there for Babcock every day.
It's not. I don't know that he does it every time, but a lot of times he'll have a bag of candy, not Halloween related, not Halloween. I don't have anything else. I did think about quarter zips yesterday a little bit, and it dawned on me how genius they are.
Quarter zips. Because that's zips. A full zip right there.
I know what I'm wearing. But the quarter zip, like Bill has, whoever came up with the concept is brilliant.
They are brilliant.
Because what it is, essentially, is a sweat. It's an excuse for a dude to wear a sweatshirt. Hmm. It doesn't. You're not really dressed up, but you're not dressed down because of that zipper.
You jazz it up a little.
Yeah, it's just jazzed up a little bit. Yeah. And it's not like wearing a sweatshirt, which you kind of want to do, but no, that doesn't look good enough. You can't go to the restaurant in that sweatshirt, but you can go in a quarter zip, right?
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's whoever.
What about the full zip?
No, it's not the same. Whoever came up with it was brilliant because you can just slip on a quarter zip and. With a pair of slacks, and you're dressed up.
I do about every single day.
I know you do.
Yeah. Every single day I wear that.
I'm going to say quarter zips for me. You're looking at 300 days a year.
I might be about the same, Bill.
More than that.
Well, I go with my orange and my yellow shirts for the summer.
Summer. That's the thing.
So that's the thing. I guess yes.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Whoever came up with it. I don't know if there's one person.
At one point in time, you thought we had 3-quarter zips down to the navel. That was the one. That,
the 3-quarter zips.
Just belly button. Little easier to get on.
I was like a 3-quarter zip.
I still need proof that it actually exists somewhere. We need proof, video, or picture proof of a 3-quarter zip jacket.
No, I just misspoke. I mean, I was referring to 3-quarter zip.
Better times. As we were back in the old station.
Yeah, we were back.
Hey, better times. There wasn't quarter zips when we were growing up.
I don't believe there was.
No. I don't know when they came on the scene.
There was a time, and it's went away, and I'm still like, I wish it was here and wish it was back. There was a time when the fad took over of the mock black or mock underneath the sport coat. And that was, again, that's like a sweatshirt, a light sweatshirt under a sport coat. Oh, and that just made life so easy.
But sometimes guys would wear exaggerated turtlenecks, and it looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was like up to his...
The true turtleneck, the double, folded over by... It's like you're wearing a neck brace all the way up to here.
What are we doing? You almost had to be a professor.
Yeah. Right. With a corduroy jacket with the patches on the elbows.
Oh, Jake, this is idle chit chat.
We have a text here from an Iowa number, unnamed texter.
Unnamed from Iowa. Identify yourself.
This goes back to the World Series real quick. You understand this, why I'm going. He says, early break should start with the national anthem, followed by some rap by Sip Bowl to pump up the breakers every day.
Yeah. Sip Bowl, I like that. Yeah. No, national anthem.
We are due for another sip rap.
I'll have something soon.
Hey.
Six. It was very important to me.
It's important to have that. Also, I didn't get this one. Jake hates me on the text like that. It's called Jake Hates Me. It says, quarter zips. Gross me out, and I'll never wear one. I don't get that.
I don't
make, that makes sense to me.
No, that does not make sense to me. Respect for people that hate Jake, but
thank you.
But no, I'm going to push back on that one.
Yeah,
hard. Well, I don't wear 300
Yeah, I do.
I'm pushing back too. I don't wear them, but I recognize the genius. I was looking at Dannon yesterday, but it was Dannon and all these sports writers around him were wearing quarter zips. I'm like, yeah, this is brilliant. Just slip on a quarter zip. You're pretty much set. Remember that, Ben. Just wear a quarter zip. You're set.
Ben wears a lot of expensive clothes.
He does.
We've commented on
that. Kind of past the quarter zip.
There's times he's in there and he's got $800 worth of clothes on, and me and Sip between us have like 30 bucks.
I know, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Ben, sometimes we're kind of embarrassed.
Yes. It's okay, Ben. That's why he's on Tinder. That's why he's making a move.
You've done very well for yourself, yes, as Bill said.
Ben's done very well for himself.
The next texture follows up by saying, I don't hate Jake. Jake hates me.
So no.
I don't hate anybody.
No, you don't.
Jake doesn't.
Oh, no, there's a few.
True. Hey,
Jake will get this name and this whatever. I called Jake yesterday for something. I need some advice. I go, Jake, I'm calling you for one reason. I go, you're the smartest guy that I know. I said, you're the guy. I go, I wouldn't call Sipple on this. I wouldn't. wouldn't call me on this. Yeah, I wouldn't call him. I called Jake on more random information that has nothing to do with sports, anything. He's like, hey, nope. Jake, I'm trying to work on this deal with my taxes. Would that be a write-off? Oh, yes, that would be. I mean, he knows everything.
Life talk with Jake.
I do.
He does have life talk.
You know how we have trip time with computer? You can just have life with Jake and just have him ask. You can ask him anything.
It's pretty
no,
true.
No, actually, it is. I mean,
I don't usually do that with Jake.
And then yesterday,
Jake.
I had a little bit of a pickle, and he goes, well, I'm not 100% sure, and it's all of a sudden I hear.
I typed.
He's typing.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, he finds it on and sends it to me.
I sent him a link. I said, I think this is what you're going for.
This is what you're looking
here.
For right here.
Was it the right link?
It was. I also reached out to the lawyer of the stars, Mossman, to help me on.
Mossman can be very helpful.
Yeah, so he was very helpful.
Yeah, you get Mossman while he's, you know, still young.
Yeah.
Idle Chit Chat, Twizzlers in the text line says, shout out to my amazing daughter, Bryce. It's her 12th birthday. Have an amazing day.
Bryce, 12.
All right, way to go.
Bryce, go 12.
Yeah, it should be a beautiful day for you. Well, 50-mile-an-hour winds might throw you a little bit.
It's a little bit warm.
Guy, yesterday.
It's warm, though. I literally throw you
yesterday was a little bit of a breeze, but I enjoyed yesterday. But it was about 72.
Oh, nice.
I mean, yesterday was a day.
If that you weren't outside day. Last night, you
last night
out.
Was beautiful.
I took a 4-mile walk last night.
Jeez.
It was perfect. It could not have been nicer weather last night.
No, it was.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
I think they'll see a lot of leaves go today. 40-mile-an-hour wind.
It's going to be a big leaf day.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of leaves go.
It's a bad one.
We are
this is deep idle chit-chat.
This is extremely deep.
Railroader Matt says, we all like the quarter zip, but can we start a movement to bring back the sweater vest as well?
The sweater
vest. Jim Tressel, of course.
Oh, not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. I wasn't a sweater vest guy, but I don't mind him.
Satterfield's a sweater vest guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he wears one every game. Neuheisel, sweater vest. I like, you know what, now that we mention it, I would be more apt to go sweater vest than quarter zip.
It's a very popular look right now. It's not really a sweater vest, but the vest with the kind of the dry fit shirt underneath, that's very popular for coaches right now on the sideline. Yes. You see that a lot.
That's Satterfield.
Yeah, you see that a lot.
Dry fit.
That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our friends at Renew. Please call or text David at 402-833-3858. Go to Renew. Your auto.com and do everything from body shop, ceramic coatings, window tinting, spray and bedliners, paintless dent repair, and more. Again, renew your auto.com. Sip, you were at the press conference yesterday for Matt Rhule.
Yeah. Nice.
Post Ohio State, pre-UCLA.
Matt Rhule.
Well, how would you describe Matt Rhule's mood yesterday? You were there.
Matter of fact.
There's nothing
that really defined it. It was matter of fact.
Okay.
And he did, you know, you probably don't have this sound.
All right.
But late in the press conference, he got to the kind of the heart of the matter, I thought. It was with 1 minute, 42 seconds left. Okay. I saw my tape. And he said, my question with the guys this week is, what did you learn this past week? Okay. What did you learn from the lost Ohio State? And he said gave a pretty stock answer. I think a lot of the players learned that we belong. We can play with anybody when we do X, Y, and Z. Then the second question, he said, my second question is, what happened 2 weeks ago. Now, he didn't give a player answer, and he didn't really answer the question, but that's it. That's, to me, is like, okay, so what's the deal? And now, you know, and he basically said, we're going to find out about this team against UCLA, and then I would say the next 4 weeks. So I don't know if you have that. Do you have that?
I don't see that here.
No, because it was late, and it was kind of like people were kind of...
checked out.
Well, yeah, I think people are kind of packing up. Now, as far as things that you would want to sound, you would want to... I think you got to go to the officiating sound. What he said about the officiating against Indiana.
Here is Matt
Rhule. Pretty long spiel.
Matt Rhule on that from yesterday.
You know, there was a really controversial OPI in the Ohio State-Oregon game, right? And they called offensive pass interference. And so what ends up happening is... over the next couple of weeks, you know, the officials, you know, there's all these points of emphasis and all this stuff, and they're talking about OPI, and they're talking about OPI, and then all of a sudden we show up, and we get two OPIs, you know, on the last drive of the half and on the last drive of the game. Now, you guys have watched this. I don't know how many OPIs we've had this year, offensive pass interference. But these points of emphasis, you know, that kind of hit you each week, you know, something happens and we change the kickoff return mechanics. Like, as a coach, I can't change what an 18-year-old does or a 22-year-old does on 3 days' notice. We went through camp. We go through all the officiating training. Officials come to practice. We're told to do things a certain way. And then as the season goes on, as things happen, man, the officials have to adjust. Well, we have to adjust. And all of a sudden, you get into a game like this, and all this stuff happens. So I appreciate the transparency. I do want to make sure everyone understands where I stand, though. I advocate for the officials. I think we should let them call the game, and it shouldn't be all this. It shouldn't change as much as it does based upon this and that. We should just let them call the games and live with the result, right? Like we live with the player's result. So I appreciate that. Some tough things went against us. We've had replay go against us. We've had my penalties go against us. I don't want any more apologies on Sunday. Like, it can't happen against UCLA. Can't happen against Iowa. You know, these things can't happen moving forward. And so I'm very forward thinking. I appreciate, you know, Bill. I appreciate Tony. I appreciate Troy. I appreciate everybody. But it can't keep happening to us. You know, it needs to be fair. And that's not about the guys making judgment calls. They got a tough job. I just want to tell us what the rules are, and we'll kind of go from there.
I'm sorry I didn't provide context. The context was the Big Ten yesterday released a statement from the COO, Chief Operating Officer. His name is Kerry Kenny, for what it's worth, just acknowledging that the Big Ten was wrong in its spot late in the first half, which should have, you know, on the spot that should have been a first down, it wasn't. So they acknowledged an error, and that's why there was talk about officiating. And I wanted to say something. I hate talk about officiating. I don't like it. I was brought up in to understand that officiating doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you play above it. And it doesn't need to be discussed at length. So I don't like discussing it, but you guys have at it.
No,
I'm just not. I
agree with you. I think the thing that you have to, and it's hard when you see bad calls for your team, but you have to understand too that there's a lot of things that go that are bad calls. I mean, they reversed the other call, right? The targeting?
They did.
They reversed the targeting. And like I said, I said that on an air yesterday. I go, from what I'd seen,
hey guys, Jake Sorensen from Early Break here to tell you about Cigars International. I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a little fall evening outside on the deck. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International has become my go-to. They have everything, whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new. Cigars International never disappoints. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on all your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every single order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice, but it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they're giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use code EARLYBREAK at checkout. That's CIGARSinternational.com. Use promo code EARLYBREAK, all one word, at checkout, EARLYBREAK, for 20% off your purchase of $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want something new, Cigars International has you covered.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
That was not targeting for what I've seen called this year, but whatever. But my point is, there's a lot of bad officiating, right. and I really don't believe that the officials get. I think there's been bad officiating. I brought it up on air, but I don't think they get together and select a team like, hey, it's Northwestern Purdue. It's like, well, Purdue's going to have to earn it today because things are going Northwestern.
Right. I don't think that part.
But there has been bad officiating.
Sure. And it's worse. Yeah. Now I understand why the conversation's escalated because it's worse.
Oh, and I've been livid with officials.
Right.
Oh, I mean, just
it, out oh, of so have I. I tweeted I mean, about it.
During a game, I've been just absolutely so I understand it, especially as a coach. I'm a little look at it a little bit different now from being outside of it.
Sure.
But there's some bad officials. When you start watching it, it's like so just watch a regular game and you go, huh. Whoa. Didn't see whoa.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. It is, there no doubt about that. And I did tweet about it. You could hammer me on that. Why you tweet about it if you don't like? Well, there are some things that come up that you can't just ignore. Mm-hmm. So that's that. Now, also, I asked him about the screen game. I said, loaded question, but does the screen game need to be better?
Here's Matt Rhule on that from yesterday.
You know, I'll be very humble when I say this. I completely understand why people are frustrated, right? Completely, you know. At the same time, what I would say is you go block that front without throwing a couple screens and tell me, okay, I mean, they're dominant, absolutely dominant. There's some kids that feel really bad on our team because they see the heat that, like, you know, Sat's taking or I'm taking or whoever, and they know that they had a missed assignment. If they had blocked the man-to-man defender, the ball would have gone for about 50. You know, that being said, you know, you have some things built in, like, hey, we're running this play. If they bring zero blitz, we're throwing a screen. That's what kind of most people do. And they threw the screen and we just didn't make the block or whatever. So we look at everything like we have to be better as coaches. Like, it always starts with us. There's one thing you're not allowed to do in our building. You can never say the players weren't good enough. You can never say, oh, so-and-so, he's not good enough. So, yeah, it wasn't good enough. The screen game wasn't good enough, you know. To have two on the final drive, you know, I can understand why people would be frustrated about that. You know, we came out and threw the go ball to Jamal and got the offense. He caught it. We had the ball on the 45-yard line. We got the offensive pass interference. We came out. We threw the backside in cut versus cover two. You know, the targeting play. We get the ball. They came out. They played man. You know, we went to the screen. So I wish we could go back on those things. But, yeah, I mean, the screen game hasn't been – terrible for us, but it was not very good for us in that game. And you know, it's just one of those things. Come out of the game as coaches and you're like, hey, we really thought going into that game we were going to need to be able to screen them because of their pass rush. Even plays like, you know, like we were putting Wood in motion and running as fast as we could and blocking their DN and handing the Bonner and handing the ball off. He missed one in a crucial time, but yet they weren't quite running up the field and rushing us as much as they were because they were had to play the screens. So much of football to me is complimentary. There's things I really regret from that game. Some of the play calls we called, some of the defenses we called, you know. But that's ball, man. You know, so I don't know if that answers the question, but it wasn't good enough. It hurt us in crucial situations. We got to be better. We went into it with a plan, thinking we needed to be able to do that. And in the key moments at the end of the game, you know, it didn't work out.
Janiron Bonner is Wood. As far as the Thank screen, you. Yeah. Bill, this is a question for Bill. Okay, so
I'm listening.
Against pressure, a common remedy is a screen.
Absolutely, it's a great call.
What else?
Did everyone on clap when they scored it? Nebraska scored a touchdown. He has a zero blitz. They ran a screen.
Which one?
The touchdown Nebraska scored.
Well, it was called short, the one, right?
And then what's that? Or it was called a touchdown.
Got short. Yeah, okay, right. So what else
Jake's argument for about an inch, but that play got a first down and got him the touchdown. Yeah. But Jake still wants to make sure that it's okay.
I'll just say it get down to the one. It was almost a touchdown.
But so you didn't like that play?
I know I liked the play.
And what was it against?
I was just correcting it.
And what was it against?
Okay, so
what was the pressure? Zero pressure. That a guy right off the A-gap, unblocked.
What else do you do against pressure as an offense? What do you do?
Formation it. You get into bunches and stacks so they can only press one guy. So you have a chance for some free access throws.
Okay.
That you can get some speed. It's different.
Bunch formation.
Bunch formation. And you motion to him. It makes you work a lot harder on the outside because all of a sudden now they can't put someone on him.
And then also valuable information.
And the next thing is speed option. Speed option is a huge blitz beater.
Why is that?
Blitz beater, okay. Because the linebacker, everyone's at the same level. They're all at the line of scrimmage. So if you get them blocked down, you pitch off the defensive end, the tackle can get up. And so you have much, anytime that was the big thing of the 46 defense, the Bear defense was option football, caused it a lot of problems. That was a heavy man pressure defense, and then option football caused it a lot of problems.
And then when you hear the term man beaters, yeah. Like what's the throw? What throw are you talking about that got to the one? Was that to Nayor?
What's that? I don't know who it was.
It was a screen pass. I thought Nebraska scored the next play in the run play.
They called it a touchdown on the field.
Oh, okay. That was inside screen.
Yeah, inside screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the reason it's so good is because if you can get the ball off, especially on the tunnel screen, you get the ball off
tunnel
screen, and the old lineman. Take it. Yeah, that probably. Yeah, let's make sure I clear that. I'm sorry about that. Yes, it was not a running back. There's what we used to call spider screen, which is also really good. That's where the back steps up like he's going to block and just turns around. And you flip it to him. And if you flip it in between the D linemen that are rushing, then the O linemen are out in front of you.
Yeah,
so slow screen can work, but it's not near as good. The spider screen, which we used to call, is where he just steps up, turns, flip it to him, and go. Or the tunnel, because if the pressure's coming this way and the old lineman, 1,001, get a hand on him and they take off and you catch the ball in behind him, and there's no second level, it could be, I've seen touchdowns.
That's what happened.
Off of that.
That's what happened with Nayor. That was an inside tunnel screen.
Yes.
Perfect. Now, it takes a lot. The quarterback in that situation, you got to get the ball out. Right. And he was under duress when he threw it. Yeah. It's rough, but, you got to make the play. They did. So that's the screen thing. How about comments on Dylan himself? The question is, what kind of progress has he made since UTEP?
Here's Matt Rhule.
Better and better and better. I mean, he's so much of that game was, hey, getting the right play here, getting the right play there. You think about, you're a freshman quarterback. You go out in front of 100,000 people, all of whom have a feeling about you because maybe you were once committed there. Another one of your freshmen drops the opening kickoff return. You start with the ball on the 8-yard line. You bobble the opening kickoff. And what I loved about what Dylan did was he just settled down, right? He gave us chances. If you go back over the last four games and you calculate in all the defensive pass interference yardage we've gotten because we throw so many go balls, that would add into kind of what he's done passing game-wise. But I think the things that he sees, the things that he's improving upon, there's no better teacher than experience. I think he's getting a ton of experience, and they threw a lot of things at him this week. Rutgers threw a lot of things at him. They threw a lot of things at him this week, though, more than he's seen in the past, and I thought he adjusted and handled it really well.
I'll tell you what, the start of that game, Bill, you were hunting, fishing?
Yes.
You were doing outdoorsman?
Outdoorsman.
Ives Quinton muffed the kickoff. So they started at the 9, and then Buscini Shankola on the punt. I mean, okay, so the first play, here's this. Okay, this was the start of the game for Nebraska. Ives muffs the kickoff, first down.
At the 1-yard line, are they on?
At the nine. The first down at the 9, and Dante Dedel drops the handoff, -2. Great start.
Ominous start to the game.
Yeah, then so Dylan did complete a pass to Emmett Johnson for 6, then got sacked for -8. Yeah. That's the first
and
series.
Then punt was shanked.
Buscini, shank you very much. But they held.
Did you say shank you very much?
the defense held, though. The defense... You know what happened? This is where the defense, right out of the gate, started to bow up, Bill. 32, Travion Henderson. It was 4th and 1. They got to stop.
Yeah.
MJ Sherman stop Henderson.
Play.
Oh, it was. It was huge. And then they kind of settled in. They settled in. Now, Bill referenced yesterday, I was looking back at the stats, and we came to that point yesterday where I had forgotten what happened. Bill, they went up 14-3, and I think you're right. I think the stadium was like, okay, well, I know. We're good. Was like, okay, this is over. And I thought it was going to be over.
Now, I'd imagine, again, didn't see it, but probably even the field goal was probably so what happened, if I remember, they missed the field goal bad. So that would have made it 17-3,
right? That's
right,
yes.
And they would have been kicking off.
Right.
They probably got the ball at about, there's kind of a long field where they get the ball at.
It was a 42-yarder. So Nebraska got the ball at the 24.
Oh, nothing great then. Okay. Yeah, that nothing. I thought maybe they had a little better spot from where they missed it from. But anyway, but yeah, if it goes to 17-3 and they don't get any points before halftime, mm-hmm. you know, it's probably,
you're kind of,
yeah.
It's trouble.
Yeah, a little bit trouble. But yeah, I remember it said like that. When it went to 14-3, it's kind of like, oh, everything's kind of, well, it's kind of going the way it's going to go. But then again, all the credit goes to Nebraska.
Mostly the defense, Bill. They stopped Ohio State at the 24. I mean, McGahee, remember, he forced a fumble, a sack.
Yes.
And then Sherman chased down Will Howard for a gain of 2 and 8. So they forced a field goal when I thought they were going to go in and go ahead 21-3.
Not like that. It was trending that way.
Right. And then they got the stop, and the guy pushed it right, and everything kind of changed. Mm. The guy pushed it right. Jay Fielding pushed it right.
By about Nebraska, 30 yards.
Yeah, yeah. And then Nebraska went down and kicked a field goal. It was 14-6. Right. So now it's
one possession game.
Yeah, now it's sort of a different kind of game. Okay,
absolutely.
Let's see. What else do you want to play there, Sparks?
Well, here's Matt Rhule in terms of how big of a deal do you make it about the 6-win threshold getting to a bowl game, Matt Rhule from yesterday.
Yeah, no, I really, you know, I believe everything happens to you for a reason. We were 5-3 last year, and we were playing Michigan State, and we lost, and then we lost the rest of them, right? And so we were chasing something. To me, you know, we went out to Indiana. We were 5-1. I felt like the guys were maybe chasing something a little bit. You know, that's why I said I didn't do a good enough job of having them in the right mindset. Indiana got after us. We came back last week. We were playing to play. Like, we were freed up to, like, hey, we gotta redeem our name. You know, we gotta play for pride and play with heart and character, and that's what you saw. So I won't talk about anything other than that this week. You know, you learned what it looks like against Ohio State. So carry it forward, and we'll do that each and every week.
It will do that each and every week. That's the trick, because if they do it each and every week, they'll go 4-0 down the stretch. Now, I don't think they'll go 4-0 down the stretch, but I think Bill said yesterday that they could. I mean, they're it's feasible, but it's also feasible to go 0-4. I mean, if it comes down to this, if they play like they did against Indiana, they could go 0-4. If they play like they did against Ohio
State, they would go 0-4 if they play. Play like that day easily.
And no, what would you say if they play like they did against Ohio State? They'll go 4-0. They'd have a
very,
shot.
Very strong chance.
They'd have a shot. They'd have a shot.
You always have a shot.
Well, yeah, you don't always have a shot, but they would, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you just just look at who's remaining. It's a 2-5.
Yeah, UCLA
team coming in like that. There's no chance. You don't look at Wisconsin going, how do we match up?
No,
you don't look at
USC.
Are you kidding me? USC 4-4.
No.
I mean,
and then Iowa.
Yeah, you put the USC. The only thing you'd even consider with them would be their logo. Would be that
they have
some speed.
Yes,
but they're not trenches tough.
No, I would think that Nebraska could sustain a ground game against USC. Yeah.
So all four games are the part that's hard that when you talk about with different teams, which would be interesting. Like, what's Ohio State do this week? It'd be very interesting. Because if you saw it, because I didn't see him, right, but there was 2 long touchdown passes early.
Correct.
So you're probably, as you're watching the game, you're like, well, we're in for it. The ball's going to be just screaming down the field, and it really wasn't. Didn't happen that way. But when you watch about teams and when teams can do different things, Georgia, 13-12 against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
A bad Kentucky team. Bad Kentucky team. 41-31 against Mississippi State. Had they played it to the very last play, starters in, all the way to the end. And then they said, let's play Texas. And they ran Texas off the field. They ran Texas off. That's what you deal with in the pros and in college. You just deal with some ups and downs.
Right.
So I think you got 2 things out in Nebraska. That you had the absolute worst version of them and one of the absolute best versions of them.
And that happens.
Back. And that, and I'm telling you, it happens. It'll be really hard to be for anyone to be just spot on,
right?
Like that, just to be like
it's the same spot all the time. On.
It's like, you know, LSU's up 17-7. They gave up 31 points in the second half to the backup quarterback. Things happen not like great. Crazy.
Speaking of things happening, Ohio State in that game, they targeted Egbuka. Is it Egbuka?
Emeka Egbuka.
And Smith a total of 8 times. Jeremiah Smith was only targeted twice in the second half.
I don't get that.
Nobody does.
I don't understand. Yeah.
They couldn't get in the flow because they were off the field.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get in the flow. I was surprised there was one time, I think it was a third and short, I think it was, or maybe it was even a fourth down, where they got tackled. They didn't get it. But Nebraska did a great job. But they had no edges, which means they were running basically like an inside zone play on a short yardage. But it was just a 5-man box, you know, center, guards, tackles. Usually when you run on short yardage, you play with tight ends.
So why didn't they?
So you don't have edges. Like, people can't bend off the edge and make plays.
So
I don't
why
know.
Didn't they?
I just think it was kind of like a little bit of like, just run it. We got it. We're good.
Because it's Nebraska.
And just run it. Yeah, that was not so much it's Nebraska. It's where Ohio State.
That was my words. That's not your words.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And now here's we are Ohio State, though. They haven't ran the ball well for 6 quarters now. They haven't. And I will tell you this. It's not because of the running backs. Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson are healthy and good. It's not because of the scheme. Because you know Chip Kelly can devise a run scheme. Yeah. It's because of the offensive line. I mean, they're not. They didn't get. Nebraska beat them up front.
The whole game.
They did.
The whole game.
And they lost one offensive lineman prior to, which made a difference. But I still
and they lost another one.
Now they've lost another one.
And they've shuffled it. Will they run the ball against Penn State? That's the question.
And the thing is, they're also good enough to go out and hang 42 on them.
I think so.
I don't think that will happen. No.
Are they?
But the issue they have right now is that we're like at A&M, what was the difference? They put someone in that could throw it decent. But could not kind of run, could really run it.
Yeah.
I mean, Howard can't really run it.
No,
he'll keep a ball to keep a play alive. Mm-hmm. That's it. He has, at the time, I don't know how this game ended, but he had 77 yards rushing on the season.
Right. He's not a great runner.
So that just tells you right now, he's not a runner.
No.
And remember, he got told no at K-State.
They don't miss him. Don't miss him.
You're not the starter. Uh-huh. He won the Big 12. And they told him to move along.
He's okay at all.
He's okay.
Yeah.
He's not what they're used
now,
to.
Now, and honestly, give him credit for Will Howard. He only threw one bad pass. He was 13 for 16. He sailed a ball for a pick.
Yes, that was 100.
He sailed a ball for a pick.
But his
yards per attempt were what? What did he say they were? It's like 14.
I have it right here.
13 points.
13 or something. It was 13.
Hold on, Bill.
It was remarkable what the yards were.
Will Howard. 13 for 16, 221. Nine. Not bad, right?
Yeah, and there's like 13 yards per completion, which is a wow number.
So there you go. Anything else?
We will get to more in the second half.
Okay, Jake.
Before we get to break, I think we're all hungry today. We're all famished. Where should we go for breakfast after the
show? Where should we go, Steve?
My thought would be Early Bird.
Well, we probably should go to Early Bird, 19th and K. Tons of parking, free parking right downtown. And breakfast burritos, chicken fried steak, which is what, Bill?
Smothered.
It's smothered.
Free parking.
A variety of pancakes.
Large parking spaces and free.
And don't forget the world famous hash holes.
Bonus hole.
Hash hole. I like your bonus hole.
Yeah. I'm changing it up a little
bit.
So
we did a little sandwich. Hash hole, bonus hole, hash hole.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You have not been. Why have you not been to the Bird yet? Text in,
why have you not been to the Bird?
Yeah.
I want answers.
Give me a reason.
Ask yourself that.
You can't handle the truth.
Stop in today, 19th and K, also in Iowa and Omaha, Early Bird. When we come back, do we know what order the top 4 teams are currently in the Big Ten? We'll discuss that next on Early Break on the Ticket.